chapter number 13. The book of Luke, chapter number 13. I thank God for being so good to me. He's better than I could ever deserve. In His mercy, He's not given me what I do deserve, but in His grace, He's given me all the good things that I don't deserve. Luke chapter number 13, when you found your place in verse number 10, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. I've told Brother Jerry that as my voice fades, just turn up the microphone. Hopefully you can hear me well enough, all right? Chapter number 13 and verse number 10. We're reading of Christ and His healing of a crippled woman upon the Sabbath day. It says, "And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." I want to preach on this thought this morning. Come to church anyway. Come to church anyway. Would you be seated and pray together? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Thank you for loving us when no one else would. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today, Lord, that is not saved. Lord, they have no power to save themselves, but Lord, if we could just show them that you desire to save them and that you have the power to save them. Lord, if one soul is saved, Lord, there will be rejoicing in heaven. God, would you heal our hearts? Lord, would you show us your love in Jesus' name? Amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach on this thought. Come to church anyway. We have before us this morning the account of another wonderful miracle that Christ performed in healing a poor crippled woman upon the Sabbath day. And may I say how very wonderful this miracle is. And every miracle, by the way, that Christ performed was wonderful. I want you to know that Christ is wonderful. And everything He ever did, and every word He ever spoke, every single one of them was a marvel of wonderfulness. Friend, may I say, God help us never to lose our amazement when we read of the mighty acts and deeds of Christ that He did while He walked upon this earth. And God help us never to forget or never to overlook the meaning behind the miracles that Christ performed. Friend, we read in the Bible of over 55 miracles of Christ. And in the book of John, John said at the very end, he said, "I suppose if it were written everything that Christ did, even the books in the world could not contain the half thereof." Friend, we read of 55, but there were so many that were touched by Christ while He was upon this earth. And friend, you need to realize today, there was a meaning behind it. Christ did it for a reason. I want you to see, number one, Christ performed miracles, number one, to illustrate the great authority of the word of his power. Friend, I want you to know tonight, today there is power in the word of God. Friend, there is power not in my word, thank the Lord, but there is power in the word of God. Not so much in the volume of his voice, but the one who speaks the word is the power, and that is the power of Christ. Friend, did you know Jesus Christ? He is the very word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God made flesh. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. The book of Hebrews tells us that Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Friend, the word of Christ is so powerful. In John 15 and verse 3, he said, "Now ye are made clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Friend, I want you to know the Savior that I serve today. He upholds all things by his word, but by the power of his word, he is able to make a dirty heart clean. Did you know that Christ has the power in his word to say this, "Thy sins are forgiven thee"? We can all say that we forgive, but only Christ has the power to take away sins whenever he says, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." So why did he do miracles? He did miracles while he was upon earth that they might illustrate his power. He had spiritual power. Yes, he still has spiritual power, but he did physical miracles to demonstrate his spiritual power. You know why? Because he knows how skeptical we are, right? He knows how unbelieving we are. He has a spiritual power to save souls, but he knew that was something that we could not see with our eyes. And so he did miracles to demonstrate on the outside what he could do on the inside. You say, "Revis, why doesn't he give us miracles today?" Because God has already given us enough miracles in his word that we might see. This book is a historical book. This book has proven itself by the test of time. This book is backed up by other books. Did you realize this is not the only book that tells us about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you realize there were others during that day that witnessed the miracles that Christ did? We have historical authenticity of the miracles of Christ, just as we have historical authenticity that George Washington was the first president of the United States. And if we cannot believe what has already been done and what history has already testified of, then why would we believe if he did these miracles today? Friend, Christ did these things to prove himself, and with them he did prove himself, and he does not have to prove himself to us again and again day by day, because he's already recorded it in his eternal word. I don't need to see him raise up a blind man today, because I believe the word of God, and I know that he has the power to do that. You see that? It is a demonstration of the power of the word of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 9, verse number 5, 6, and 7, he was teaching, and there was a man that was crippled, and they let him down through the roof that he might get to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, and before he addressed his physical situation, he addressed his spiritual situation, and he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The Pharisees were there. They didn't understand what he meant. How could this man have the power to say something like that? And he said this, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." He did physical miracles by the word of his power to prove the spiritual power that he had. By the word of his power, he came to a graveyard one day and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And whenever he said it, Lazarus came forth from the dead. By the word of his power, he stood out upon a boat and he rebuked the storm and said, "Peace be still." and by the word of his power, the storm came unto a calming place. By the word of his power, he came to a dead little girl on a bed, and he took her by the hand, and he said, "Maid, arise." And by the word of his power, they that were dead were raised unto life. And there was a day in Luke chapter 13, by the word of his power, he called a crippled woman unto himself, and he said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity," or thy weakness. By the word of his power, he demonstrated the power of himself spiritually. His miracles did not only did they demonstrate his power in his word, but they demonstrated the compassion in his touch. You realize usually every single miracle Christ did, almost every one of them, they involved him speaking a word, and they often involved him touching those that he healed. You see that whenever he healed the leper, he came to a man that was untouchable, and he touched him with his hands. Not that he needed to touch him to heal him, but he touched him to show him that he cared about him. With compassion, he touched the eyes of a blind man. Not that he needed to, but because he wanted to. With compassion, he took Jairus' daughter by the hand while she was dead. Not because he needed to, but because he wanted to. With compassion, he took the hand of a little boy who he had cast a demon out of, and he lifted him up, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And with compassion, in Luke 13, he not only spoke unto this woman, but it says he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Friend, do you realize God didn't have to do anything? He could have just thought the thought, but he spoke a word to reveal his authority, and he touched her to reveal his compassion. You say, what are you getting at? I wish I had the voice within me to put it out there like I want to, but friend, what I'm trying to get at is this. They revealed what he does spiritually. There was a day in my life, I was 7 years old. I tell it often, and I'll tell it every single time I get the chance. There was a day when I was convicted of my sins. There was a day that I realized I had a problem, and that problem was I was under the judgment and the condemnation of a holy God. There was a day when I realized that I deserved hell because of my life, and I came to Christ. I was worse off than a blind man. I was worse off than a deaf man. I was worse off than a dead man. I was worse off than a crippled woman. I was a lost sinner, undone without Christ. And there was a day that I came, and I called upon him to save me, and he spoke a word unto me. A friend, a word just as sure as the word that he spoke to these people. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And by the authority of his word, I was brought to life. I was made a new creature. I was saved. I was made to see spiritually. I was made to hear spiritually. I was made to walk in newness of life. But he didn't just do that. He didn't just speak to me. He touched me. You remember the day when Christ touched you? As unclean and rotten as you and I are, as leprous as we were in our sins, he came down to where we were. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not that which was righteous. He said, "I came to call sinners unto repentance," not the righteous. He came to low down dogs like me, and he touched me. You remember that song? He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. Friend, something happened. I know what it was. Christ touched me that day. I'm glad that I feel his authority in my life, but also his compassion. Friend, if I don't get any further in this sermon, I want you to realize Christ has the authority to turn your life around. Christ is the only one that has the power to save you from your sins. Christ is the only one who can give you eternal life. And Christ has compassion for your soul. Did you realize while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly? You realize when you never thought about him, Christ prays for you. Christ wants to save you. I want you to notice, I'm going to give you two things, I'll be done. My mind, my attention has been drawn not only to the miracle Christ performed, but in this chapter, my attention has especially been drawn to the place where it happened. Yes, he healed a crippled woman, and that's wonderful. But it says he did it in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You realize what that means? The synagogue was the closest thing that they had to church then. Before they had church in Israel, they had the synagogue. That's where the believers, the worshipers of God met. They assembled as we do, and they worshiped God, and they learned from his word. And where do you find Christ? Right there at the assembly of the congregation. Where do you find the crippled woman? You find her there at the assembly of the congregation. Friend, I want you to realize there is a great encouragement in this chapter. Not just to be saved. There is an encouragement to find your place in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. There is an encouragement here. Number one, I want you to see, number one, the attendance of the Christ. This was a special service. If Christ did not come, it would have been very much different. And if the crippled woman would not have come, it would have been very much different for her. But because of Christ's attendance, and because of the crippled woman's attendance, and because they met together there at church, at the synagogue, because they met there, her life would never be the same. I want you to notice, number one, I find great comfort in the faithfulness of Christ to the synagogue, to the place of the assembling of God's house. Friend, I want you to realize something about Christ. When we talk about Jesus, we're not just talking about a man. I'm talking about the Son of God. Jesus was and is God in the flesh. He wasn't just a prophet, not just a teacher, but he was the very Son of God. In Revelation 21, verse 22, we are told that Christ is the very temple of God. What am I getting at? If there was ever a person who could truly say they didn't need church, it was Christ. And yet he was always faithful. If there was ever a person that embodied the Godhead fully, it was Christ. If there was ever a person who might say they were too good for church, it was Christ. And yet you find him there. As long as they would have him, he came unto God's house and he taught there and he preached there. Friend, it is a great deal of comfort to me that Christ came to God's house. As we see in this chapter, the leaders in the synagogue did not like him. In fact, they rejected him. And eventually, in their ever-growing hatred of him, they hung him up upon a tree to die. That was not those down at the bar. That was not those down in the prison. That was those that were in the synagogue. And yet, in despite of their wickedness, where is Christ? He's at church. You say, Revis, what are you getting at? Do you think you're too good for church? Are you better than Christ? I don't think so. Do you think the people down at the church house are too bad and too hypocritical for your attendance? Are they worse than the Pharisees of Christ's day? I think not. I'll be honest with you. Going to church isn't always easy. When you're especially faithful to church, when you're active in it, when you're serving in the kingdom of God, when you're setting aside your schedule and your time to be here as much as possible, you can get so weary. You can get so caught up in the distractions of life that you feel like you're utterly distracted or you don't want to come. But friend, I take comfort in the fact that my Savior always found his place in the house of God. And if he can do that, then surely I can do that. You say, Revis, that wasn't church, that was the synagogue. Exactly. How much more reason do we have to be in God's house today? This isn't just a synagogue. This is the church that Christ died for, the church that which he is the cornerstone for, the church that he is the head of. This is his church. This isn't just a social club. This isn't just a fellowship. This is Christ's church. Are we not supposed to be here? Come to church anyway. Yeah, you're here on a Sunday morning, but there's plenty of you that may not want to be here. There's plenty of you that are torn. You're here in body, but you're not here in spirit. You come just enough to say. You come just because you know you're supposed to. Do you think Christ went to the synagogue just because he was supposed to? Come anyway. Friend, there is a great deal of importance in this place. You say, Revis, they didn't have Sunday night synagogue and Wednesday night synagogue. That's much harder. Yeah, they had the feast days. They had to travel several times a year to Jerusalem. They had to take off work to get there. Praise God. We don't have to do that in the Baptist church today. Nobody take off work to go up to Jerusalem. Amen. Friend, in some ways, we got it a lot easier than they did even. Why can't God get some faithful attendance out of us? Not just to church, but to him. Notice number two, I find the attendance of the Christ, but I find the attendance of the crippled woman. Here is a woman that has been bound up and bowed down for 18 years of her life. And yet she brought herself down to the synagogue to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this woman. I began to study about her this week. And we've all known in old age arthritis and the problems in your back. And we've all seen an older, elderly person bent over in their old age. And that's coming for all of us. But there's a disease that we know about now where they have a name for it and everything. I can't even pronounce it. And you probably maybe seen maybe one person in your life with this condition. But it's not just regular arthritis of old age that this woman had. But she had a condition that her spinal cord literally shrunk. And her spinal cord fused together, that it was no longer malleable or bendable. It was something that shortened her to the point that she was literally doubled over. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I've seen maybe one person in my life, just saw them in passing, that was just really all the way over. It was, they couldn't even lift up their head to look up to the sky. It was just pitiful to see them in that way. This is what this woman had for 18 years of her life. She was so bent over. She couldn't look up. She couldn't lift herself up. You realize this wasn't just a little hunch here. This was a woman that was in complete pain. This was a woman that had an embarrassing appearance in her life. And yet this is a woman that was faithful still unto the house of God. Don't you think the way that she must have felt would have been a good reason for her to stay at home? Don't you think the pain that she had was horrendous at times? And yet the infirmity that bound up her body did not bind her from coming to God's house. Don't you think that the way she probably looked would have been a good reason for her not to come? She knew the embarrassment of her appearance. She knew that people would stare and children would poke fun. But she came not for them. She came because Christ was there. I asked you a question. I said, are you too good for church? Or are they too bad? Christ didn't think so. Maybe you think you're too bad for church. Maybe you think you're in too bad a shape, physically or spiritually. How about you sit down for a little bit, have a talk with the crippled woman of 18 years. Let's let her talk to us about faithfulness to God's house. If she hadn't have been faithful, she would have missed out on a whole lot. Friend, what about us? I think of some dear saints. I'm looking at some this morning that have made an effort to be here beyond anybody else. For coming to church ain't an effort for most of us. We get up 4 hours earlier to go to work 5 days a week. Amen? Somebody help me out. We can stay at work 10 hours. We can go to a movie for two. Lord help if the service goes past an hour. And for your information, it already is past an hour. So don't worry about lunch. Forget it. Amen. Amen. My voice is low, but it ain't gone yet. I'm going to keep talking. She was there. She came. What about you? I think about Sister Mary Lou and Brother Arnold, and if they could be here this morning, they would. They're probably watching if they can. And they try to come on Sunday nights because it takes them so long through the day to get ready that it's easier to come on a Sunday night. There's no way they can get ready in time. Sister Mary Lou would probably kill me if she was listening right now. She said a few weeks back, Sister Pam told me, she looked at Brother Arnold there in her wheelchair, and she said, me and you's going to have to stop this half-coming-to-church business right now. We got to get there. We visited with her one day. She said, I feel like such a flake. Can't even barely stand up. What about you? What about me? Why? Why should you come? Because Christ is here. What other reason? You say, what about the hypocrites? What about them? Christ came. She came. Why can't we come? Why can't we be faithful to God's house? Because he was. Because she was. You know the best part about that for me? Christ in verse 12 had to call her to come to where he was to heal her. I don't really find the idea that she came to be healed. I think she came with a concern more for her soul than her back. She was in the student section. She was there to hear the wonderful words of eternal life proceeding forth from the mouth of God himself. She was there to fix her soul more than her body. She cared about her spiritual need more than her temporal needs. You may have many needs, but we all have one need, and that is the need above all needs. We need Christ. That's why she was there. That's why she came. There are so many people that come through those doors when they have physical needs. They have a loved one pass and they come. They have financial struggles, they come. They have physical problems, they come. There's a disaster, there's something tragic, they come. In 9/11, churches were filled. And there's people that will come for their physical needs only. And when those needs pass, they pass on from church. But if you'll ever realize your spiritual need, that'll cause a faithfulness to Christ and to Christ's house, because he's the only one that can fulfill that. That woman, she got a lot more that day than she bargained for. She came to fix her soul. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God doesn't promise healing physically. Sometimes he does choose to, and sometimes he doesn't. But he does promise this: if thou shalt confess thy sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I promise you, if you come, maybe you've even been embarrassed to come, maybe you didn't want to come because of somebody else here, maybe this is just not in your normal routine, but if you've come and you realize your need for Christ, I promise you, Christ wants to heal you as bad as he wanted to heal that lady. Spiritually, he wants to save you. Your life will never be the same. So what about it this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to give a brief invitation. And I want to ask you, if you're here and you say, Revis, I'm not saved, would you be honest enough with me and with God to just raise up your hand and say, pray for me. I need Christ. I realize that. Is there anybody like that? You just raise up your hand and say, pray for me. I promise if you do raise your hand, I wouldn't call you out. I just pray for you. Anybody like that? Maybe you're here and you say, Revis, I know I'm saved, but I need Christ in my life now more than ever. I need to follow him. I want to be more faithful, not even just to church, but to him. To him. Maybe you'd like to raise up your hand and say, Revis, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that. I see those hands, several. I see that hand. Anybody else? Be honest with yourself, with the Lord. Who else? You say, Revis, that's me. I'm going to pray for you. But I need you to pray for yourself. These altars are open if you'd like to come. I believe that is a good way to show the Lord you mean business. But you can pray right where you're at too. Would you get serious with God? Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power and your compassion. Lord, I pray if there's one not saved, and I'm sure there is, Lord, I pray they'd see their need. Would they come to you before it's too late? Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet?